Good morning. I am Pastor Nicole. I work with the 6th to the 12th grade here, so I'm the youth pastor. And I hope that you guys are as excited as I am today that we get to talk about movies in church, right? We get to talk about Age of Ultron today. So we are in week 2 of our series, and originally I wanted to do what Brian is doing. I wanted to do Infinity War. But because my schedule's all like mixed around and we're actually doing a vacation this year, I had to go in order, and so I had to do week 2. And so I have to be really honest with you guys. I hadn't watched this movie since it like had first come out in like 2015. So I had to actually go and purchase the movie, and I had to sit down and I had to watch it because I couldn't tell you like specific details because it had been so long ago. And so I needed to like actually watch the movie if I was going to talk about it, because I needed to know what I was going to share with you guys this morning. And as I was watching it, like, there's some really good stuff in there. Like, there's some really good things. So I wasn't as mad that Brian stole my week and we had to switch. So, but before we get into Ultron, and I promise that we're going to, I wanted to share a little bit of my story with you. So I grew up in a fairly normal family, or at least normal to me. I feel like we're normal. Maybe we're not. But we did things like vacations. My dad's saying no. He's like, no, we're not normal. We did like normal family things, even if we weren't normal. We did family like vacations. We did sports. I played volleyball. I was into dance. My sister was. We did church. We did youth group. Kind of the normal stuff. My mom was a teacher, so we had the summers off with her, and we got to spend time with her. And so I feel like I had a pretty good life. Most of you guys, though, have heard me talk about, or maybe have heard me talk about, I had a really intense struggle just with like self-doubt and kind of just self-consciousness in middle school and in high school and even a little bit of college, parts of college, where I started restricting or binging food, trying to kind of control my feelings about how I looked. I wanted people to love me so much that I tried to be the funniest, most witty person. That's my go-to. That's why I make a joke probably when I get up here, is because I'm so nervous. I want people to like me. I turned the energy up to a level 10. We got to spend some time yesterday at Verge, which was really awesome, by the way. We had about 60 teens that were there, so that was incredible. But we got to work with Kevin, who is insane. He is like at a level 10 always and never comes down. Like, no matter how much time has gone on, we went like 5 hours there, he was like a constant. And so I can remember trying to like be like that, because I just wanted people to think that I was fun, right? I wanted people to notice me and hopefully see me as somebody who was enjoyable to be around. I tried to mimic traits that I thought were cool from my peers. I had no idea who I really was, because I had taken on the things and the personalities from others. In my adult life, I struggled with anger and bitterness. I didn't know how to let go of things that were done to me from the people that were closest to me. When I had felt wrong, it took a hold of my heart. It consumed me. I obsessed. Kind of like the picture that I'm about to show you, these twins. The same kind of anger, the same anger and bitterness is the same anger and bitterness that the twins in this movie faced. They had been wronged, but they were angry. And they were going to make things right in their mind. Take a look at this clip. Yeah, hurt and fear. Those two things have a way of making their way into the crevices, into the dark spots of our hearts and our minds. And we end up using that to justify doing what we think is right. Maybe doing awful, maybe doing some crazy things that we would never have planned to do before. And if you need proof, you can take a look at Saul's life. How many of you guys have ever heard of Saul in the Bible? A couple of you, good. He was later called Paul, and he was caught up in things that he thought was doing, like what he thought was what he was doing was right. He was doing things that were terrible. He was born an Israelite, but he was a Roman citizen by birthright, and he was not a nice guy. Like, this is not the person that you would wanted to be associated with. He was present at the martyrdom of Stephen, and he was a man that was dedicated to persecuting the early disciples of Jesus in the area of Jerusalem. He dragged Christians to prison, even going as far as like 150 miles out to arrest Christians and bring them back. He was dedicated. There is a giant spider. I'm just going to kill that real quick. Oh, man. Fear has a way of making it into our lives. Paul was crazy. He was dedicated. He was passionate about what he was doing. He dragged Christians. He was dedicated. He was fueled at his work. Maybe you guys have heard the story of King David. David was described as a man after God's own heart. Take a look at 1 Samuel 13:14. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So he was a model king. He was the king of Israel, and he had many successes. He had many things that he did that were good, but pretty soon he abused his powers and at times looked like he had no faith at all. He chased after a married woman, right, Bathsheba, while her husband was fighting his war. Not only did he chase her, he got her pregnant. And then to cover it all up, he tried to kill her husband. He was so concerned with serving himself above everything else. Maybe it's because someone has wronged you. Or you were trying to do something that you felt was good, but it somehow got twisted into something wrong, something evil. Maybe you were so consumed by serving yourself that you found yourself then in a time where you didn't know how you got there, how you did what you did, how you said what you said, but here you are. In all your ugliness, you're here. Anger, hurt, disappointment, filled with shame, filled with regrets. This is you. Paul, David, Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, Peter, me. These aren't just stories of people in the past, right? People in the Bible. These are stories of now. We get caught up in the things that the world is telling us to do. They start to pull on us. We're doing stuff and we're becoming a person that we never thought we could be or should be or wanted to be. Take a look at this next clip. The twins were so tangled up, right, in sin and lies and manipulation. The same can be said for us. We're not sure how we're ever going to get out of this pattern or be different or change our story. We're disappointed with our realities. But hear me on this. Your story doesn't end there. You don't have to lie down in your mistakes and your failures and that be the end. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. God's love transforms people. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to new life. You begin to cut the strings of this world that have tied you down, and you get to live a freed life. Take a look at the moment when Scarlett has realized just the impact that she had and what she had done. Did you guys catch that? When you walk out that door, you're an Avenger now. You are different. You have been made new, and you have a new identity now. Saul was an awful person, right? He hated Christians, hunted them down, but he had an experience with Jesus that transformed everything for him. Saul was no longer Saul, but Paul. Christ lived in him, and he traveled thousands of miles around the Mediterranean, spreading the gospel, not only to Jews, but to Gentiles. Wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, which included letters that addressed issues in the first churches so that they could grow and thrive. This guy was a powerhouse to Christianity. David was approached by Nathan, who had been told by God to tell David a story that was really just a reflection of his own sin. It was just a really creative way of telling your friend, hey, like what you're doing is wrong. And he pointed out the sins of Bathsheba and David, and he repented of the wrong that he had done. And God not only forgave him, but he blessed their marriage with another child. He gave them Solomon, which means peace, who not only became the next king, but he was also blessed as an ancestor of the Messiah. Did you guys know that? Jesus came from that. I know for some of you, it can be easy to dismiss some of the stories of the Bible, right? Those are people that we have no idea who they were. They lived thousands of years ago, right? I can't really relate to them. Maybe you're thinking all of these stories are just made up. You don't even know if the Bible really is true. Is it real? But I know what God has done for me. I know in my own life that there was a moment that I had gone to camp several years ago with some of my students, and I can remember bringing a lot of anger and a lot of hurt with me, but I was there for the kids, right? In my arrogance, I thought that that week was for them. I was just there to be available for them. I was there for their needs when God inevitably changed their hearts. But newsflash, just because you're a pastor or just because you're a Christian does not mean that God won't wreck you. And he did. I can remember my stomach hurting and twisting, and I felt sick when they gave a response, like a call to come down, to come forward after the message was given. And I knew God was trying to transform me in my heart, but he needed my obedience first, to surrender first. And that was terrifying because I had fought a certain way. I had held on to that anger and that hurt and that bitterness, and that's what fueled me. And so I didn't know what it looked like to fight any other way. And that was scary. I knew that God wanted to change my heart, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. But I moved. And to be honest, I was expecting some really like crazy, miraculous, like come to Jesus moment with like another one of the pastors that was like way more experienced and God-filled than I was. And they didn't come. Nobody came. And so that was really interesting because that's not what I expected. I expected God to move in this like miraculous, crazy way and somebody to lead me. But the only person that came was a little seventh grade girl. But how fitting. This little seventh grade girl came and she looked at me and she said, "Can I pray with you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I was thinking, maybe after this, someone else will come. You know, because this was a time for the kids. Like, I needed somebody that was experienced in this. But in that little moment, when this little girl, this seventh grade girl, prayed for me, I can't even tell you what she said, but I know it wasn't very long. It was this tiny little prayer, and I can remember just feeling an incredible difference, and I bawled, and I'm sure she thought that I, like, wasn't okay. I was like, "No, I'm okay. Like, I'm fine. I really am." But in this moment with this little girl, God transformed my heart, and I had to lay down anger and I had to lay down hurt with the simple act of obedience in this little girl's prayer. God did something amazing. God transformed my life. Not to say that I don't struggle with anger or that I don't get mad. I still do. But it's not something that has that pull on my heart like it used to. I'm not tangled in that string that's wrapped around there. And so I know what it looks like in my life, that when we accept God, we are forever changed. When you lay something down, Jesus cuts the strings and says, "You don't ever have to pick it up. If you do, it's your choice. But you never have to touch that again. The old has gone. The new is here." I love that. When we accept Christ into our lives, he works through all of that hurt and all of that fear and those past experiences that affect our daily life, and he brings us healing so that we can walk forward and we can find joy in what God has planned for us. From the inside out, I love those two songs. I didn't talk to Jeremy at all about what I was talking about because I was writing my stuff like several days ago. And so he had already planned all of that. Those two songs, Jesus paid it all. From the inside out, God transforms our life from the inside out. Instead of living in sin and shame, we can live as light in Christ. God calls you worthy, beloved, a friend, a child, a fellow heir. You've been called redeemed, and you have been set free. You can live a life that's free from bitterness, free from anger, free from failures, mistakes, from the strings that are holding you back from living a real life. There's no strings on you. Because first and foremost, God chose you. Regardless of what you think or what other people think you are loved. You are loved by God deeply. But not only are you loved, you're chosen. Ephesians 1:4 says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14, in the middle of that, it says, "God picked you out as his from the very start." Picked you out from the very start. the God of the universe, not your friend, not your mom. Your mom will always choose you. God picked you out. The God who designed the universe, put the foundations of this earth into place and into motion, knows you and the depth of your ugliness, the depth of your sin, and still chose you. Even if no one else sees it, even if no one else acknowledges your value, your worth, God does. And Jesus also paid the price for you. Brian said that this morning. Jesus bore our shame and our pain in one of the most gruesome ways to die, death that was reserved for criminals. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Through Jesus, death has no hold on you. Sin can no longer keep you captive. What Jesus did on the cross and then 3 days later changes the entire game for us. Because he paid the price of death for everyone so that we don't have to. And through that, because of what Jesus has done, you are forgiven. Because of God's love for you, through the blood of Jesus, you are forgiven. You are freed from the shackles of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Forgiveness is a wonderful gift that we receive when we repent of our mistakes, and with that gift of forgiveness, transformation then becomes our opportunity. And not only can God transform you, cut the strings off of this world, but then you have the opportunity to show others that they can be freed too. What it looks like to really live a life in Christ. What could your story do for someone who is lost in their own hurt, in their own regrets, in their own mistakes, and in their own pain? What would that look like? The person that you were when you walked in this morning does not have to be the person who walks out. You can be free. You don't need an elaborate prayer, although I like to make it sound nice, but really, there's nothing special about what it is that I say up here. One of my junior high kids could do it. It's not the prayer or the altars that make change, that make transformation. You just need to be obedient to what God is saying when he says, "Let me take that from you. That anger isn't yours to hold. That regret isn't yours to keep. The mistakes that you have made aren't ones that are going to keep me away, because I love you. And I have chosen you. And he has given everything for you. And he has forgiven you." So, are you going to choose today to be different? Are you going to choose today to be changed, to be made new, to be made free? Are you going to choose today? Because that's the only thing
are you going to be obedient to what God is calling you to do? So I'm going to pray with you guys, and the worship band is going to come down and come up, and they're going to close us in a song. But if you feel the need to be able to get into a space, you can come up here to altars if you want to. You can come up here, and someone can pray with you. But I just want to give you an opportunity to be able to respond, to be able to say, God, I don't want to be the same anymore. I want to remember this moment as something that transforms my heart, that I want to physically maybe even just lay your hands down to say, God, I don't ever want to pick this up ever again. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this to be me. I want to be made new and I want to be made different. You can take that opportunity this morning. I'm going to pray and Jeremy's going to sing. All right. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this time that we had to come and to worship and to gather together and just be in your presence. What an amazing opportunity that we have to celebrate in this thing called life with you. But God, there are things that are on our hearts, that are on our minds, that have laid strings to us, that have tied us down, that we have felt shackled. God, we haven't felt free. Maybe it's things, God, that we thought we were free from, and then we went back and picked it up. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be someone that is tied down, that is shackled. I want to be someone that has joy and has peace. God is present for other people to be able to tell them my story, to say, this is what you have done. So God, help me to not pick up the things of this world because they are small in comparison to you. God, they're only going to weigh me down. So I pray for us as a church, God, that we would begin to lay those things down. The things that are too heavy to carry, things like guilt and shame and anger and disappointment. When we have had regrets and we can't stop thinking about what it is that we were, what we have said, what we have done. God, there are ways to make it right with other people. Apologizing, and there are consequences for life, but it doesn't mean that we have to keep living like that day after day after day, because you have made us free. You have paid the price. So God, I pray that this morning, that us, me included, as a church, would walk out different and changed and new as soon as our hands touch those doors, as soon as our hands touch our cars, God, that we would know that we are completely different, changed people, and this is a whole new church that walks in next week. God, I want to see the change in my own life. I want to see the change in each other's lives. So we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity of transformation. And we pray this in your name. Amen.